Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Preacher and the Miracle Man Show here on this Tuesday, October 30th, 2018. And I'm your host for this evening, I'm the Miracle Man. And I am so pleased to have you with me, wherever you may be, however you may be accessing the program. It's an honor for me to be here to do this. And it always is. Every night I do this, it always is. I enjoy it. I do it for you. I feel like it's what the Lord has called me to right now. And I really enjoy it. I really enjoy those of you listeners who tune into the broadcasts. You guys are awesome. Now, of course, you can go back and listen to the archives. And it's awesome. I want to thank those of you who have been believing for my throat. It wasn't the worst thing ever, of course, and we still had a great show last night, and still got a little bit in there, but not like yesterday. But those of you listening, go ahead and clear your throat for me a little bit tonight. Not like last night, just a little bit. Just clear it just a little bit. Very little. But luckily we're on the air, so it's not like I can hear all y'all clear now. But it is better. Like I said, it wasn't terrible or nothing, but I had it. And of course, the miracle working Jesus is doing things. And I even give that to God because I don't want it to get worse. I don't want it to get to where I wouldn't want it to get to where I'd have a fever and all that other stuff. And it's not fun. So praise the Lord for that. Now, I'd like to take the first little bit of the show and talk about fun stuff, you know. What am I interested in? What have I been up to? What are my favorite things, you know, why? Maybe it's something I really like. Maybe it might be a pet peeve. Who knows? But that's why we've called it Miracle Man's Monologue. And sometimes in monologue we talk about a few different things. I want to talk about three favorite malls in Michigan. These are in no particular order, so I don't want you to think that because I said it last that it's my favorite, or to think that because I said it first it's my favorite. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about each one before I move to the next one. Then at some point, kind of soon, as we get into the holidays, I'll talk about my three favorites. Or at least what I think may be my three favorites elsewhere in America. Two. That one might be a bit harder. One thing I want you to keep in mind any mall that makes this list has to at least have half of their anchor space occupied, or 75% of their other space that is not anchors. So there could be an honorable mention. If there is an honorable mention, something like that could be why. But it might still have other great qualities. So, one of the three. Great Lakes Crossing, Auburn Hills, Michigan. Home to 185 stores. That includes Bass Pro Shops Outdoor World, Burlington Coat Factory, Bed Bath & Beyond, TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Finish Line Outlet, Hot Topic, of course, and then dining outlet, dining choices, including Rainforest Cafe, Miyako Japanese Steakhouse, along with a big food court that is completely filled of the available spaces, and another space is being constructed to host a hummus place in the that mall. This mall is doing very well. They are putting up Planet Fitness, though, I must say. And they do have, for entertainment, they do have AMC 25 with IMAX, as well as Legoland and Sea Life Michigan Aquarium, as well as a Round One Bowling Entertainment that opened last year, last October. This one's located at exit 84 Baldwin Road off I-75. You can also use 83, which is Joslyn Road, and you'll still be right there. It's a very high-grossing mall, very well-attended. Not too many vacancies. Another one. We think here, Genesee. Another one, Somerset Collection. And this one is a beauty in a different way. It's in Troy, near I-75. It includes anchor stores like Nordstrom, Saks Fifth Avenue, Macy's, and Needless Markup. Have you ever heard of Neiman Marcus being called Needless Markups?
I haven't.
Some people like to call it that. Okay, Neiman Marcus. I like the other name too, but it's pretty funny. But this one is actually, called the Somerset Collection and rather than the Somerset Mall, because there's a sky bridge that connects the north side from the south side that goes over top of Big Beaver Road. If it wasn't for that, it would really be two different malls. But it's a beauty. There's a lot of good restaurants in there, just like Great Lakes Crossing. Some dining options include California Pizza Kitchen, Little Grill, which is expensive, from what I understand, and P.F. Chang's. Food Court Fair, they have a Chick-fil-A in it, which is awesome. Can we please get one in Great Lakes Crossing? Please, 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 please. They want to, I'm hearing a rumor that they want to put a Burger King in there in Great Lakes Crossing, from what I understand. What do you say, Donut? Should we just put a Burger King in there and forget Chick-fil-A? Or no? Chick-fil-A is awesome. That's going in. That's going in there. Obviously, if we could have everything, I would say, you know, put a Bojangles in there, a Cookout in there, some stuff like that. But this does have a Chick-fil-A in it. It does have a lot of other stores. It does have an extremely low vacancy rate. Very few vacancies. Keep in mind, though, the Somerset Collection is quite expensive to shop in, so bring your wallet if you want to buy that much stuff. But it is cool to look at. There's some awesome fountains in there around Christmas time. It's very well decorated. And it's a really good one. And then the next one is atmosphere or lack of vacancy. I'm struggling with this next one. I'm going to go with Genesee Valley Center in Flint. Even though Sears left the mall, and, I mean, Sears closed, Burlington went to another different site on Miller Road in Flint, closer to 75. Still a mall with a lot of charm to me. It's a mall that really portrays Flint the way I think it should be. You go in there and kind of has a homey feel to me. You go in there on the holiday, around the holidays, and in different hallways, a couple of the different hallways have Christmas trees in them, which is really cool. They used to have wreaths up in the food court. I don't know what happened to those. I wonder if they're going to do that this year or not. But they, at the holidays, they will play the nice, very old Christmas music. Actually, Great Lakes Crossing did that last year, and that was wonderful. They got high praise from me for that. Also, they have a community piano down near JCPenney. They do have a couple small waterfalls. One in the center court, one down by Penny's, by the piano. Two different times I was in there last Christmas, and there was a certain guy sitting there playing Christmas music. And it was beautiful. It was awesome to see. And they know how to go out for Christmas. It was one of the first real large indoor malls I went to in Michigan back in the early 2000s, and I remember one of the times it was near Christmas, and it was awesome. You hear the train go through there, and it kind of sounds like the Polar Express in a way. Remember that, Jenny, seeing that train? That train kind of reminded you of the Polar Express, the sound of it, didn't it? Remember that, Jenny, that train at Genesee Valley, the Flint Mall? here, but reminds me of Polar Express. And it's outside of Detroit area. It almost got the honorable mention due to some vacancies, but there are other things about it that I just really like a lot. So those are my three favorites. Honorable mention, 12 Oaks Mall in Novi. This is the size of the first two I mentioned. It is bigger than Genesee Valley. It has 185 stores, just like Great Lakes Crossing. The one eyesore that I can think of, two different empty restaurants upstairs in a very similar area. One of them used to be a Max and Irma's. The other used to be an August Kitchen. They're both still empty. What'd you get?
Okay.
And?
Oh, by the way, after we're done, I'm going to use one of my McFlurry tickets.
Sorry, folks. I was just figuring out something about McDonald's thing. But, the eyesore for folks is having the two different empty restaurants upstairs. There are a lot of other great things about it. Novi, to me, location-wise, isn't exactly my number one cup of tea. But as far as the inside of the mall, I struggled between making this the honorable mention and Genesee. Because I mean, I really like both of them, though. I really do. And anchor stores at 12 Oaks, by the way, Nordstrom, Macy's, Sears, Penny's, Lord & Taylor. By the way, there is a Lord & Taylor outlet at Great Lakes Crossing. Another highlight of this mall, 12 Oaks, it has the only Cheesecake Factory in Michigan. I think that's kind of strange, being that Cheesecake Factory originally had its roots in the state of Michigan, in Detroit. You've heard that donut, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
So, here's what I got to say to the people who run it. Why can't we have a Cheesecake Factory in Flint where Sears was? Why can't we have a Cheesecake Factory in Great Lakes Crossing? And then another one in Midland. And then another one in Grand Rapids, Lansing. I don't mean Midland and Saginaw and Bay City. I mean maybe Midland instead of the other two, because obviously you only want to have so many of them in a given state or whatever, you know. You got to figure out market size in that. Now, one thing, donut, you got to realize is when I was in Georgia, the few different malls I went to when I was down there, 6 miles apart, both of them had a Cheesecake Factory in them. Both of them. There's another Cheesecake Factory about 5-6 miles north of downtown Atlanta along 75 in a different mall called Cumberland Mall. So there's a lot of different Cheesecake Factories, but it's a very big market. Houston. One day I went to the two of the biggest malls there, about 5 miles apart. Both of them had cheesecake factories in them. Both of them. Right out the same highway. Isn't that cray cray?
That is crazy.
Right out the same. Okay, let me rephrase that. One of them was out 610 Galleria. The other was out regular I-10 Memorial City, both in the city limits of Houston. They both had cheesecake factories in them. So I don't see why we cannot have a cheesecake factory in Twelve Oaks, Great Lakes Crossing, Flint, Midland, Lansing, Grand Rapids. Well, here in, because like in Ohio, they have a couple of them in Columbus, one in Cincinnati, one in Dayton, one in Cleveland area, maybe two. So, six of them. Six different ones. So, I don't see why we can't. Maybe not the Midland one, but at least the other ones. So, it was kind of fun. Now, I'm going to communicate the plan for tonight's show now that we've done that. Okay. First off, I'm going to read for you from Matthew chapter 12. Then we're going to read from Hebrews 11 and the first two verses of chapter 12. Then we're going to exhort about the miracles of Jesus. We got some sports to talk about. Pistons with a 4-1 start. What does this mean for the team? Could it be the start of something special? Why or why not? Also, Lions trade Golden Tate to the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll discuss that a little bit. We will also discuss the Patriots and the win over the Buffalo Billy Bobs last night, as the Bills defenders kept Tom Brady from entering the end zone, even though the Patriots did still win. So that's the plan for tonight. Now, so, I want to encourage your listeners to, can you please give me some water? I want to encourage you folks to please, please tell other people about the show. Tell them about the website. Go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that's blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, type in Upfront Entertainment. Once you type that in, you'll see a link. I want you to hit that link. It says Love and Large. Then you'll see a little bubble thing that says Featuring Miracle Man. We want you to click that thing. After you do that, you'll be on our show. After that's done, you will be able to, you'll see a follow button. We want you to hit that follow button because you're going to get notified when we get ready to do our shows. And then we can go from there. And then, so, now, We also have a telephone number where you can call in. And we can talk about generally anything you want to talk about, as long as it's not politics. You want to talk about politics, I'm going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you. And I'm going to tell you to go vote next Tuesday. Go vote. Get out there and vote. 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 Vote for what you believe in. Don't let those candidates sway you. You're a Republican, don't let the Democrats sway you. If you're a Christian, don't let the world sway you. Vote for what you truly believe on the inside of you. And that telephone number, so we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. We can talk sports. We can talk about God. We can pray together. We can sing a song together if you want. That number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts and then please press 1. And you'll go through the call screener and Jenny will let me know that we got a caller and I'm going to approve you and you'll be able to get on the air and we'll be able to talk. Okay? All right. Let me just check the time. Okay. We're going to pray. And then we're going to get into the word of the Lord for a little while. All right. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for these listeners, year and five, who have made the choice to get on board and listen to this program. I thank you, God, that these listeners choose to hear what you have to say through me. Thank you that they give you the ultimate attention. Because we honor you, we worship you, Lord God. And I just thank you that these listeners come with open minds. Their minds will be renewed as we study the word for a little while and we learn more about your miracles, Jesus. As you are the miracle worker. And I thank you that we will continue to receive testimonies from people on this program. And I thank you tonight that you use me as an oracle as I read your word and exhort on it. Lord, I hereby confess over the show that finances come into this program, new equipment comes into this program, new listeners come into this program, more and more listeners, increases in audience all the time, up, 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 more audience, finances, new equipment, and partners who want to come on board and help me, sponsors, partners who love sports, to love Jesus more than anything, who enjoy McDonald's, and who will give me their peanut butter cup. I mean, I can give them my peanut butter cup. This is more like it. I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I was kidding about the peanut butter cup thing, even though I really do want a Reese's. You know, harvest day's tomorrow, and well, all I care about it is that I want some candy. I don't dress up. I don't believe in all the wickedness of it. But I do want some candy. Anyone who has some good apple crisp, send it. Cider donuts. I mean, cider donuts. Pumpkin donuts. Reese's peanut butter cups. Butterfingers. You get the picture. Just send me the goodies. Candy corn. All right. Enough of that now. Let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew chapter 12. Woo! Matthew chapter 12. I want to encourage you with something. Please, 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 please. With tomorrow evening being Halloween, rather than just be that Christian that just keeps the lights off and just, why not open the door, but hand them a track and tell them, you need Jesus. And whether you want to hand them candy to go with it, that's your prerogative. It's up to you. I'm going to go tomorrow night to the mall to see how many peanut butter cups, how many nut Butterfingers, how many Tootsie Rolls can I get my hands on. The last couple of years, I've gotten way too many suckers. Have you had problems with that, Jenny, when you went there with getting way too many suckers?
Yeah.
You should just go in there and scream, I want my peanut butter cup. You should. You think, what? You go in there like Violette does. I want my peanut butter cup. You know? I might do that tomorrow. Well, you know. Instead of we're like going down the corridor to that office, do you guys have my peanut butter cup? we'll see. Or if someone's got some cookies or something. And here's the thing. Christians should get candy too, if they want it. They shouldn't have to dress up if they don't want to. You just maybe go to a friend's house or something and go get some candy. You better hope it's the candy you actually want. And that it's the real size you want. All right. I don't want to waste any more time away from the Word. I want to get to the Word of God. So, let's open up our Bibles to the book of Matthew 12. I said to go there a couple minutes ago, but then I got to talking about the doggum candy. No candy, don't fall from heaven, because then I'll be thinking more about it. But, please, folks, please. Be a light unto the world. Tomorrow. If you want to pass out some candy, that's your provocative. But please, pass out cracks. Or at least tell them, about Jesus. Please, please, please. You might be the only Jesus that these people ever see this year. So please, be a light. Just be a light into the world. Amen. Now I want to encourage you for these next few minutes. Please follow along. If I sing a song, you sing. If I pray, you pray. I sing a song unto the Lord. If you know the lyrics, you sing along with me. Let me just take a look at this chapter real quick. Just looking at it, seeing what's all in it. Actually, let's go to 13. We're going to go to 13. And there's a lot of good parables in here. And it's a lot of really good stuff. Has to do with the Word of God. Even though this might not be any direct miracles that he did, it can help us. So, I've got the Word of God open. And we're going to go to Matthew 13. I'm going to begin with verse 1 right now. This is about the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. So he took a seat in the boat instead of sitting at a pulpit at church. You'd have to like look at the water in order to see him. That would actually be kind of cool, Jenny, wouldn't it, if you went to church and the preacher was in a boat? And you got to just look at the water while he's preaching? Yeah, it could be like that. I want to see a preacher do that these days. I want to see it. I'd like to see Dr. Buckley do that. I'd like, yeah, I'd love to see that. Around him, that he got into a boat and sat in. While all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Not very effective. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprung up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they didn't have no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up. That's good, but they choked the plants. Uh-oh. So other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop. 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. And then is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaac. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear, because I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Someone who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Okay, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. Uh-oh. But when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of rich, of wealthy, the deceitfulness and wealth, riches, choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Yeah, that's what I want to be. Next parable. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came, and he sown weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat and forked heads, then the weeds, another version calls them the tares are actually more accurate, went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the tares also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the tares come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he replied, "because while you are pulling the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the tares and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. All right. Parable of the mustard seed, verse 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it becomes the largest of garden plants, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and mixed it into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all of these things to the crowd in parables. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable. Such was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables since the creation of the world. Now this is where he gets into explaining the parable of the wheat and tares. Then he left the crowd and went to the house. We're in verse 36, by the way. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us, please, the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The tares are the sons of the evil one, the devil. And the enemy who sows them is the devil." Let's read that again. He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world." The field is the world. Stands for the sons of the kingdom. The tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the tares are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 44 now. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in joy went, and he sold all he had and he bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is just like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Parable of the net. This will be the last parable of the night, and then I'm going to go explain some stuff. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net which was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but they threw away the bad ones. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and will separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the sower of a house who brings out, let us strike one, new treasures as well as old. All right. Clear your throat for me. Actually, we have four more verses, one more parable. Then I will get to explaining. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were ashamed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all of these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Oh, man. Wow. I could just sit here and preach on that chapter for a long time. I can think of several messages I could preach. Let me give you a couple points. One of them, the one we just read, in that last verse there, it says, Jesus could not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith and unbelief. Do not be that person who does not believe that Jesus can do miracles. Don't be that person. Don't be like some of those disciples that always questioned him. Those people who were always afraid when the storm came. And they screamed, Master, we're drowning. We're going to drown. We're going to die. What you should be saying is, I believe, Jesus. I believe that you calm the storm. And I believe that you're going to do it. I have faith in you. Jesus, I believe that you're going to heal my body. I believe that you're going to, you know, and whatever it is, I believe, Jesus, you're going to calm the storm. Instead of just saying, God, we're going to die. We're going to perish. We're going to, that's doubt and unbelief. So what would I say here? Get rid of doubt and unbelief now. Purge it out. If there's someone maybe causing you to doubt or something, get them out of your life. If it's something you're doing, stop doing it and turn to the Word of God. Please. Jesus is not going to do miracles for those who doubt him. Let's move back a bit. So, at the start of that chapter, Matthew 13, I read it to you. Now, for those of you who are new to the kingdom, you may have to read it several different times in order to really understand everything. And it is a long chapter. It is jam-packed. It is powerful. But that part about the sower of the seed, it talks about how there's the good soil, there's the rocks, and there's the thorns. And then there's just the one where the birds just came and ate it up right there, like ineffective. Obviously, the thorns weren't effective either. You got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And in the house of God. You can't be that thorny person. I'd be like the one who just does it when it's convenient. Oh, I'm not that busy, so I'll study my Bible. I'll pray. I'll go to church. But once I get a job, once I get a job opportunity, all this other stuff, my kids got baseball, softball, basketball, football, hockey ball. Actually, hockey's a puck, but all that stuff, that busyness of life just gets your way. Don't be the thorn. Be on good ground and yield that crop 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. Amen. That one was awesome. And we learned it when we were little. But I learned it when I was little. That seed is the Word of God. And it's awesome. Very powerful. Wheat and tares. The wheat, sown by God, sown by Jesus. Tares, sown by the evil one, the devil. And hey, listen up. The last days. God's going to separate the wheat from the tares. Just like in that parable, the wheat, those of us who serve God, who live for Him, we get to go up to heaven with Jesus. Those of us who didn't serve God, who never knew Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior, guess what? You are going to eternal hell fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
And another lady stand by the corner.
Hell is not just a place that's made up around Halloween time or something like that. No. It is very serious. It is very real. You don't want to go to hell. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please program now. That number is area code 215-383-3810. Please give your life to Christ. Time is short. And you give your life to Christ. When you give your life to Christ, then as you study in the Bible, this other stuff will start to make a lot of sense to you. You'll learn about the mustard seed. You'll learn about wheat and tares. You'll learn about living in the Word, being a person of the Word, man, a woman of the Word of God, being rooted and grounded, being in that good, solid church. You'll learn about having faith in God, knowing that He will do what He said in His Word. And it all starts by giving your life to Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Okay, got a few minutes left. That mustard seed, this faith thing. If you have faith the size of that little mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. It's not talking about moving a mountain from Tennessee, one of those mountains like east or west of I-75, down between the Kentucky state line and Knoxville area, or between south of Knoxville and Chattanooga. Move one of those mountains or some of them up here to Michigan. No. It's talking about sickness, disease, trouble. You can say, get out of my way. I am delivered. I am free. I am free from this stuff. I am free from this drug addiction. I don't drink any more alcohol. I am free from nicotine. I am free from poverty, debt, lack. I'm free from sin. You name it. God gave us dominion over things. If we have faith, we call out to Him for that stuff to be moved away from us. It'll be done. You know, I do wish we could actually say to a mountain, you know, in Tennessee, move up here. Or for this city to magically move 400, you know, down 75 down into Tennessee or something like that, leave on the mountains. That would be pretty cool. But that's not what it was talking about. It's talking about life. It's talking about issues, sicknesses, diseases, the devil. That's what it was talking about. And if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we can say be moved from here to there, and it will move. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you that we would get it on the inside of us. I thank you, Lord, that every one of us would completely understand, for one thing, that hell is real and that none of us want to go there. I thank you that those people who don't know you, they will give their life to you right now. They'll call this program. They'll Facebook message me. They'll get a hold of me somehow. And they'll get on that journey toward keep with you, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for that parable of that sower. And that we would all be rooted and grounded in you. And I thank you for this mountain moving faith. We would be able to move as you are the mountain mover, Jesus. You move, you do these miracles in us. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I get into sports, I have a pretty cool testimony to tell you. That is my brother, who was on the show with us a couple weeks ago, and we talked sports for a few minutes, and that was pretty cool. He has decided to come back to God. A couple different times, he's kind of walked away, came back, walked away, came back. He decided to come back to God. And I'm not going to get into all the details, but I'm very pleased. He was at church all of the last three services, Thursday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And he's real serious about getting it with God. He is. And I'm very grateful for that. My family, me and my parents, have been praying for this for a while now. And I'm glad that he is making this choice to get it right with God. Hey, when a prodigal comes home, guess what? That's a miracle. Miracles aren't always just the healing of the body. Or you get a good job and you were poor and now you have a lot of money. No. A lot of times it's like the prodigals come home. Or other great things happen. It can also be sports related, but so that is pretty cool testimony. And I thank you, Lord, that those testimonies are just going to keep on coming. We're just going to have more testimonies like that. By the way, folks, we're going to create a Facebook page for the show. I believe we're going to call it the Miracle Man Show. And I'm going to let you know when we get that rolling. And any of you listeners have a testimony, please let me know on the Facebook, please, once we get that going, because then we'll be able to share your testimonies on the air. And I will also want you to call in your testimonies when we do these Testimony Tuesdays, or even on the other days, Monday and Wednesday, when we do the program. Tomorrow is going to be a bit different. I got to really make up my mind on when I'm going to do tomorrow and what. But I'll set it up and then we'll go from there. All right. Now for some sports talk. Go to the Pistons. The Detroit Pistons started off 4-0. Then they lost to the Celtics on Saturday night. But let's face it, the Celtics are an awesome team that can go very far, especially now that LeBron is in the Western Conference. But that 4-1 start, what does that mean? In the world of them, how does Miracle Man feel? Well, here's what I think. If the Pistons can remain healthy, it's hard, but I think they could do it. If the Pistons can remain healthy, then I think they could make it to at least the second round of the playoffs if they can keep this kind of momentum going. And I think, depending on how well they're doing, especially when football's done, we'll be talking a lot more Piston basketball on this program. Yes, I did go to Little Caesars Arena last year, and that was awesome, going to that Pistons game there. And I have every reason to believe that I'll be going back this season to catch a game. Hopefully this time they'll have a lot more wins and they'll be in a nice frenzy, because let's face it, Little Caesars Arena is supposed to be a real hostile environment. Felt like it was pretty loud, but I still thought the Palace, the first time I ever went there, was a little louder. So we'll see. I think it could be the beginning of something special. Now, the Lions. Well, the Kittens traded Golden Tate to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for a third round 2019. My understanding is they cut part of another player's contract so that they can probably be able to afford to get another big playmaker, because we'll need another good one, because Golden Tate's have been doing some great things for us. Hopefully, though, with Tate now being traded, hopefully this means we'll be able to run the ball some more, because a really good team is very versatile. They'll pass the ball a lot, but they'll also run the ball a lot. We're 3-4 now, but I'm sure we can get back to winning. I have faith in the Lions that they can get their roar back and not be the Kittens anymore. And I'll be able to call him something else that's funny. Because I love doing the funny nicknames. By the way, on the next show, will be my pick six. Actually, how many games? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I was going to say 6 plus a bonus, but Midland and Dow play each other for high school, and then Clarkston versus Whiteley Lakeland, and then College Michigan and Michigan State. Both have different games, and then lines, and then a bonus. So, yeah, 6. This will be complete with silly names. And Son of Swami only does nicknames for the high schools, but I'm coming up with some for Michigan, the Lions, and others. Some of them I borrow out from Son of Swami for the high school. Others of them are my own. For example, Midland High. I didn't like the one he used, Chemical Spills, so I made a different one. Dow Jones Industrial, though, I think that's kind of funny. So. And last train to Clarksville. So, we'll see. So, folks, until next episode, God first, God always. So long, everybody.